So we have Deborah Harsma here from BIOS Logos that's going to talk to you today. And so I think many of you know who she is. And so I'll just let her start there with her talk and get going.
Okay. All right, you let me know.
Okay. Yeah, I'll watch.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for coming out right after a good lunch. Appreciate you taking the time to come today. I expect that perhaps some of you don't know much about BioLogos and are wondering who we are, what we do, how we're different from ASA. And I expect some of you know BioLogos quite well and you're interested in what's new and what's on the horizon. So this talk will have some of both and a chance to tell you about some of the latest programs that we are doing to engage the public. Yes. The mission of BioLogos is to invite the church and the world to see the harmony between science and biblical faith. And I think that's a mission that's shared by all of us here at ASA. We are looking for that harmony, those positive, not just a lack of conflict, but the positive synergies that arise when we consider our Christian faith alongside modern science. And looking for the counterpoint. I'm a musician, so when I think of harmony, I'm not just thinking of unison, I'm thinking of two melodies that are coming along and interleaving and making a richer whole when we consider them together. Now, BioLogos was founded by members of ASA. We had our public launch a little over 7 years ago, so we're 7 years old, not 75. And as a young organization, we have been growing a lot just in the last few years. So we have a lot of similarities with ASA, the search for harmony, also a desire for gracious dialogue, for humility in our conversations with each other. And I think all of us would like a better dialogue than the kind of culture war rhetoric that so often happens in our society. Now, we do have a distinctive, though. There was a reason to found BioLogos, different than ASA. One reason is that ASA approaches a broad variety of science and faith topics. So the theme this year is neuroscience. Other years have addressed climate change or responsible technology, bioethics. And those are areas that BioLogos isn't doing much in yet. We might down the road, but certainly ASA has a broader engagement with on a topical level. So our core commitments at BioLogos are these five things here. You can take a look at those. So the historic Christian faith, we're committed to the authority and inspiration of the Bible. But here's probably our biggest distinctive from ASA, is that while ASA does not take a stand on origins, if you heard Terry Gray's talk yesterday, you know that ASA has deliberately chosen to not take a particular position. But at BioLogos, we do. We affirm the position of evolutionary creation, recognizing God as creator of all life over billions of years. And so we believe that the Big Bang describes how God started off the universe, and that evolution is our human description of how God brought about all of the diversity of life on Earth and created us as one interconnected family of life. So that means things look a little different for us at BioLogos than at ASA. So for instance, we have done a lot to sponsor research and scholarship, particularly on this point of view, from this perspective. And we care about dialogue, just like ASA, but ASA is a forum for dialogue of diverse views within the organization, whereas BioLogos is standing at one point on the spectrum and having dialogue with organizations and individuals of other views. So it's just a different approach there. All right. So as you saw at the end of the mission statement, all right, I'll go back here. Is this kind of a slow on the uptake thing?
You know what? I saw while you were talking, I saw that bar come up. It wasn't there earlier. I wonder if it lost connection there.
Well, that would be a shame.
Let me see. Try it now.
Yes. Okay. So the final phrase of our mission statement is we present an evolutionary understanding of God's creation. So the need that we are talking about is illustrated by surveys like this. This is a Pew survey from a couple years ago. And it outlines for different religious perspectives here, so white evangelical Protestant, black Protestant, Hispanic Catholic, white Catholic, unaffiliated, and I'm not sure what's all included in there, if that includes other religions, and then white mainline Protestant. And the question addressed here is a choice. You got to choose one or the other. of humans existed in their present form since the beginning, or humans have evolved over time. So the bulk of US adults are divided on this question. But if you look at the difference between white evangelical Protestants, we have only 27% here accepting the scientific evidence that humans have evolved over time, whereas white mainline Protestants, 78% accept the evidence that humans evolved over time, and we have all of these Christian traditions in between. So clearly there's faith aspects to how people are viewing the scientific evidence, and that's the issue that BioLogos is addressing. So there's lots of misconceptions swirling around this. Here's one misconception. Evangelicals have a stereotype that scientists are divided about evolution. So if you ask them, 49% of evangelicals think that scientists are divided on the science of evolution. But when you ask the scientists, 99% of them accept the science of evolution. This wasn't asking the evangelicals what their view was. It was asking them their perception of the scientific community. So that actually is a bit of misinformation about how people are perceiving this debate. There's a lot of misconceptions on the other side. So scientists or the general public tend to hold misconceptions about what motivates an anti-evolution view or a young earth creation view. This particular survey focused on young earth creation views. And there's stuff floating around. People say, oh, it's because they're Republican, or young earth creationists are lower income or more poorly educated, or they're in the South, and things like that. And this survey work done by Jonathan Hill, he's a sociologist at Calvin College, said, no, those are not the driving factors. The driving factors for a commitment to young earth creationism are belonging to a religious congregation that rejects evolution, and believing that the Bible is inerrant, contains no errors. In their survey of, over 3,000 adults, they found that if people who assented to these two things, 80% of them would be committed to a young earth creation point of view. So that means for us, of an evolutionary creation point of view, if we want to have a conversation, it's not just about the scientific evidence. Piling on a bunch of scientific evidence does not address these two most major concerns. And I grew up in a young earth creationist home and church. Those were my concerns too. I mean, that I was belonged to this congregation. I didn't know of any other viewpoint. I was very committed to the Bible. I didn't want to risk that by listening to scientific evidence. So at BioLogos, we want to address both those social factors, the communities of which people are a part, and the biblical interpretation factors, as well as presenting the scientific evidence. So for I think most of the rest of this presentation, I want to show you several different programs that BioLogos has been engaged in our young history, only 7 years, not 75, and including some of the programs that are coming up, and you'll see these themes running through them. So first of all, our website. This is how BioLogos got launched. When Francis Collins wrote his book, The Language of God, he got so many responses and questions from people on all sides that he founded BioLogos to be a place where these questions could be discussed and people could read answers from experts. We're now up to nearly 1 million unique visitors a year, and they come from all over the place. If you type "what is evolution" into a Google search engine, BioLogos is the number one answer. We're also showing up high in search results for other relevant questions. We have over 1,000 articles, videos, blog posts, sermons, personal stories, all sorts of things on the website. We have over 300 authors of people, leading scientists, top theologians, pastors, students sharing their own experiences. We have some very regular bloggers. Ted Davis is here, and he blogs regularly on the history of science. Dennis Venema blogs regularly on genetics. But we have a wide variety of authors. If you're interested in writing, you can send us a pitch, and we would love to add more voices to our site. We also have a moderated forum, which is pretty unusual online. Ours is the only one we know of where it has a wide range of views. We have on our online forum, we have everybody from atheists to young earth creationists and everything in between. And we moderate it heavily. We do not let people call each other names. Those comments get deleted. People get booted off. And it actually becomes a really fruitful place for dialogue. I would invite any of you, if you're interested in this question, whether you agree with evolutionary creation or not, I encourage you to log into our forum. There are always people there who are asking questions about these issues, and we love it when people who are familiar with the issues, like you folks are, to be able to be weighing in on those. The website is making an impact on people's lives. Here's two different undergraduates, one from Oklahoma Baptist. I came to the conclusion that I did not have to abandon my Christian faith to accept the theory of evolution. And that's our mission right there. We are so worried about the number of young people who feel they have to make a choice between their Christian faith and science. And for this young man from Oklahoma Baptist, he saw that answer as he came to our site. He said he also learned how to disagree amicably with my friends and family, which is another goal we have. We want to model what gracious dialogue looks like. Here's a student from Princeton, very different institution from Oklahoma Baptist, and he says, I've been continually amazed by how honestly and rigorously you explore many of these questions. He's a Christian student majoring in biology, I believe, who was really using our resources. So the website was our first ministry and continues and is growing today. We've also held gatherings for evangelical thought leaders. So these are pastors that we bring in, like Pastor Claude here. We actually try to invite in evangelical thought leaders who disagree with us or haven't really given it much thought, and we want to have a conversation, and it's through these private gatherings that we've learned a lot at Biologos about how to present our mission, about the kinds of questions we need to address, and we do a lot of building trust and showing people that we are people of genuine Christian faith. So this leader here said, I learned those Biologos people are not a group of folks looking to liberalize Christian theology. They're deeply faithful Christians. They don't think differently about origins and evolution for me because they are liberal. So we're trying to disentangle issues where oftentimes an acceptance of evolution has been associated with a whole raft of other issues, and we're trying to separate those and say, well, let's consider them one by one. How can we maintain an evangelical identity while taking this scientific evidence seriously? We are in dialogue with people of other points of view. I know both Fuzz and Hugh are at the meeting this weekend. Biologos and Reasons to Believe have been in dialogue for the last few years. We've met for a couple of different long weekends. We've gotten to know each other as fellow believers, as friends, and we are now, the two organizations are now writing a book together. It's contracted with University Press. Part of that dialogue has been a group of Southern Baptist leaders, and Ken Keithley and others have also written on our site and done a dialogue with scholars from the Biologos community. He writes, Biologos deserves a place at the table. And this would be, our goal is not to convince evangelical thought leaders to change their views, but to see evolutionary creation as an option on the table, something that should be considered and discussed and something that's not automatically heresy, but is worth talking about. All right. From 2012 to 2015, we gave out 37 grants to a variety of scholars. Some of them are here this weekend. Any of them in the room? Dominic's in the room. Yes, and Ken's in the room. And, oh, Dave. Oh, my goodness. Dave Vosburgh. Had his name right there. Yeah, it's right there. Dave Vosburgh. You just can't see it.
Okay. And I'm sorry. I have to say thank you.
Yes, and then, you've heard about the Grand Canyon book. That has received some funding as part of their project, and Ben McFarland has a lovely new book out, A World from Dust, so that is available in the bookstore as well. And we sought here to build up a community of scholars. There's been a lot of scholarship done on these questions, but we particularly were looking for interdisciplinary connections and scholars who would address the concerns evangelicals have. So a lot of the fruits of this program are still coming out. Part of those grants also went to dissemination and developing education resources. So this is Diane Sweeney and blanking on
Josh
Hayashi. Yes, my goodness. So they created some resources for high school students, some beautiful videos that introduce high school students to the conversation about science and Christian faith. Here's a homeschooling mom who has already benefited from our resources online. Most homeschoolers, as you probably know, are in the young earth creationist world. But there, it seems to be like one in every community who is really interested in evolution, and it feels like they've all called up BioLogos, like, okay, what do you guys have? And so we've been working to connect them with each other. We now have a section of our online forum that is just for homeschoolers, so they are able to provide each other some mutual encouragement and connect each other to resources. And this teacher here's mom has already been finding it helpful. And these parents are not all totally on board with this viewpoint, but they are convinced that their children need to know about it. And they want to hear about it from the best sources and represent it accurately. So books continue to flourish. Here are some of the books from the last several years of BioLogos. Another new one that's just out is How I Changed My Mind About Evolution. Evangelicals Reflect on Faith and Science. Note that not all of the authors actually changed their view, but they all went on some sort of journey as they were considering evolution in light of their faith. How do these fit together? And we wanted a place to share these personal stories. So the ASA conference is a kind of an academic conference, right? We submit abstracts, we give talks. We love talking about the ideas. A lot of the world prefers to talk about stories, about personal connection, personal journeys, put a face on it. And that's what this book does. So it has gets those stories out there. It's also the first in a book series we're doing with IVP Academic. And then the latest new program is our new Speakers Bureau. And this is, the drum roll. Okay, you're seeing it here, almost the first people to see the list of the new speakers in our bureau. So this is going to go public on our website in another week or two. These are 24 speakers from a variety of disciplines and institutions, as you can see. Some are veteran speakers, some are early career, but with so much potential. We had our training workshop last month, and it was wonderful to see us all learning from each other. These folks are available. We would love people in ASA, if you are looking for a speaker, if you've got a campus ministry group or your church or your ASA local chapter, we would love to connect you with a speaker. Our role would be a kind of a matchmaking, help you find a speaker who's a good fit to your organization, geographically, topic-wise, and so forth. And we can provide advertising. We can connect you with other people in your city who might want to host the same speaker, so you can share some travel costs. Those are the kinds of things we want to do as we're facilitating this program here. The idea is to make it self-sustaining, ultimately. So we have a little bit of funds to support the actual honorarium stuff, but mostly we want to be facilitating connecting speakers with venues. Also, if you know of a venue just to recommend, you know, like, wow, there's this one church in our city that's really strategic, do let us know that, too. That can be helpful for us as we're thinking about where we should be placing these speakers. We want to put them in a variety of places, mega churches, seminaries, conferences for youth pastors or for homeschooling parents, research universities, campus ministry groups, all different kinds of venues. We also have our national conference coming up, March 29 to 31 of next spring in Houston. When it's still chilly in the Great White North, when the snow hasn't melted, when it's looking really dreary, come on down to Houston, spend a few days with us. We're excited, and if you sign up for our email list, which you may do here or at our booth back there, then you'll be sure to hear about information about the conference when you can register. You'll also hear about the Speakers Bureau. You can also take this card with you, which has the dates of the conference and the Speakers Bureau, to remind you to go online in a week or two and look for that. And if you sign up, a new thing we're doing, if you give us your zip code, then when there's an event in your area, we can send you an email to let you know, hey, there's a BioLogos speaker coming nearby. We also have a free DVD if you sign up. This is a neat video that we released in February. It is a pastor in our network telling the story from the dawn of creation to the end of time, starting with the Trinity before the creation, and he tells the true story of the whole world, the whole biblical story and the scientific story woven together. And he's, as only a pastor can, he spins a tale and lifts our hearts and minds above just the straight scientific evidence to really picture how God is at work in our world. And as sin enters and as Christ enters and redeems us and brings it all to consummation, it's a great video. It's free online, but if a DVD would help you show it in your church or something, that we're offering those, especially if you sign up. At our conference, it'll be a little bit different than the ASA conference in that we are aiming at a lot of lay people as well. Sunday school teachers, high school teachers, pastors, just ordinary people like these, like Andy and Jen. Their parents, he's in the military, she's a stay-at-home mom, and yet they really struggled with this issue. And they were grateful for BioLogos because they discovered no longer did we have to choose the false dichotomy of Jesus or science. I'm so thankful we did not have to travel this journey alone. So we want to be a place of community for people like them. So there's a summary of ways that you can get involved in what we're doing. Thank you very much. So that was a survey from the Pew Research Center, and I expect they used some various measures to get at that.
To decide what even, yes. not self-identified.
I think it was a little more than self-identified. Okay. If I recall right, in these surveys, they'll also ask things like, what kind of church do you attend, or do you attend weekly, do you read the Bible? And so they have some kinds of things that might help get at it.
That
not that those are definitive either. So I have to trust their research methodology on that.
Okay.
Yeah. But it is an issue in our messaging, because on the coasts, especially, evangelical is synonymous with fundamentalist.
Yeah.
And so we sometimes avoid the word and just say committed Christian, believing Christian. But in this crowd, we share a common understanding of what that evangelical means.
Yeah, I think our point's really well taken, because evangelical in the Northeast is a really bad connotation. They assume that we reject all kinds of things, including most science and climate change, let alone evolution.
Right. It has become a code word in the political dialogue for a whole party platform of issues, which we do not subscribe to about others.
So I actually had the same question that she had like that too, and so I have some concern about published thing and any and putting evangelical out there without some type of definition of how they got it. And then I have one other question about your 80-20, when you went into that 80-20 there, the two bullet points you had.
Yeah.
And
all
the way down to was it back? I'm sorry.
I don't know. This one?
The next one.
There we go.
Here, yeah. Oh, the 80% of people. Right, I don't have one.
So the 80-20, the 80-20, what is, these are vastly two different things.
They are.
What's
they
the 80, the 80-20 is putting these two together. What is it if you separate them?
Oh, well, then it would be less so. But
which one?
Well, so the longer story is here that this was an intensive survey that did long interviews with people, not just asking them questions, and there was a list of like 10 different sort of faith beliefs, faith-related things, as well as all that demographic stuff, and then they did the sociological analysis to determine what is most strongly correlated with the young earth creationist view. What they found is the people who accepted both of these things, which are different, but those two together were the most likely predictors of what that person's views would be on young earth creationism.
So it is vastly different if you just hold on the inerrancy part.
I expect it is, yes. Okay. Or they would have had a different survey result. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and you can go and read more about this if you search for him on our website. You'll find a blog post that just gives this result, and also has a link to the full intensive survey where you can get tons more data about it.
Okay. I do want to add a comment. supporting John Hill. There's a couple other projects I'm involved in that are secular projects that John's work is featured in. The secular sociologists of religion think his work is the best there is on this particular question. So it's not like John's work is, you know, we did commission it through a grant. It was written for our purposes, the questions we're interested in. But the secular sociologists really respect his methods and his findings. They think he's doing this kind of work better than anybody else.
That's good. Okay. Other questions?
Justin Barrett this morning talked about the cognitive optimum where you wanted to be something that was a little bit counterintuitive and not so wild that people didn't know what was going on. Do you find that there are some groups of Christians for whom you're like that invisible dog that doesn't exist on Wednesdays?
Yeah.
You have to take some sort of more gradualist approach there?
That phenomenon is certainly there. I've encountered it when I speak on the road, and I can see it in people's faces. There's this incredibly puzzled look, like, okay, she said she's a Christian, but no, really, what? And just, you know, and so you can tell this sounds like an invisible dog that doesn't exist on Wednesdays. But there are a lot of, ASA provides a forum of a lot of different views, and that would be a much more natural starting point for somebody like that to just get familiar with what's there. There are also other science and faith organizations that people can talk with, and that's perfectly fine. So.
Did you have a question?
I'll pass it.
Okay. Any other?
I understand the Catholic hierarchy fully accepts evolution, and this is an authoritative religion. So does this mean a lot of the people in the trenches don't accept the authority of the church?
Ooh, I am not an expert on that. Ted, do you know more about that? As far as I understand it, there's different kinds of teachings in the Catholic Church. There's like the formal Pope statements that are like, this is the view, and then there's other discussions, and I'm not sure where they're.
There's no papal rules about it.
That's the
word. This doesn't have a magisterial authority of that kind.
Right.
But multiple popes in the last 50 years have basically said evolution isn't an issue for us, to paraphrase what they're saying.
Right.
So I don't know how many priests ever preach on evolution. I really don't. I don't think it comes up a lot. Catholic laity, just in my experience working with them, do tend to leave the thinking to their leaders. And, you know, Catholic intellectual tradition is probably the greatest intellectual tradition in Christianity, historically. And so there's good reasons they do that. We leave it to the people who can think about these things. I think they probably just don't. You know, ordinary Catholic leaders probably don't worry about this because their leaders don't worry about it. So yeah. I don't know what these responses actually mean.
Right. I think that's probably true. I think there's probably a lot of Catholic lay people, as there are in all churches, who just absorb views from the culture. When their faith leaders aren't addressing it directly, they just assume that whatever they're hearing on the radio is the view. I will say there was a study done of biology education, and it found that Catholic high schools had some of the best biology education in the country for evolution because they had a faith context in which to put it. They felt that they could address that question. So.
All right, let's thank our speaker again. Thank you.